The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yisrael Baruch Tursky and has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. For contract and iska, draft and review, wills and estates, or other halachic services, please call 1-888-485-8223 or visit thehalachacenter.org.
The Gemara discusses the incident of Lachman Barista. They needed to render rishus from the goy in order to make their eruv, but the goy was unwilling to rent out his rishus. So we'd like to discuss how to deal with such situations. Say there's a development, a block, they want to make an eruv, there's a goy living, and he doesn't want to rent out his rishus. So the first approach is based on the Gemara later on, that pay in Perek Chaloin. It's brought la'aloch and shulchan aruch, simin shin pei beis, sifyut aleph. That if the balabas, the goy, is unwilling to rent out his rishos, you can go to his wife. You can rent the rishos from the wife of the goy. The Mishabura adds, based on the Tosfos on tomorrow's block, the Samachay, that who are then, you can go to any member of the household and rent from them. So if he has a wife or children, and they are willing to rent out the rishos, that would be your first asa, how to deal with the problem. But let's say he doesn't have a wife or children, or they're also unwilling to rent out the rishos. So the next step is the din of Sakhir Balakid that's brought right here on that Samach Dalit. And it's brought in that same sif, in Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud Aleph. If the goy has an employee, let's say a maid, so you can rent the rishos of the goy from the maid. The Bir Alocha brings from the Atzei Almoigim that not any employee could be used. There has to be such an employee who has permission to use either the house or the chatzar. But if he doesn't have rishos to use the house of the chatzar, then that's not the type of employee who has enough of a connection to the rishos of the goy that he should be able to rent out the rishos of the goy. So if he doesn't have such an employee, or the employee is also unwilling to rent it out, so what would be the next step? So now you have to know why the goy is unwilling to rent out his rishos. If it's a question of religion, he doesn't want to have any involvement in deals that he doesn't understand. He doesn't want to do any religious ceremonies. So then we could have an approach based on the Shulchan Aruch, and again in Simen Shin Pei Beis, in Sif Dalit, Hasoicher min ha'eina Yehudi, Stam, Moyel, ve'eina yitzaruch lefarish loy, shulahatir atotol. Someone who rents from a goy does not need to explain to him that the purpose of the rental is to permit carrying on Shabbos. Even if the goy is entirely unaware of the ramifications of the rental, it's still valid. So, you find an item that it would make sense to want to have off-premises, say a house key, or maybe a disk that holds backup data, and you go to this goy, and you rent from him the rights to keep the key, or the disk, on his premises, on his property. So, he'll take the key, and you'll give him $1, $10, $20, whatever it takes, and you'll rent from him the rishus. That would be a classic serious rishus, and the problem would be solved. But sometimes you'll have that type of person, he just doesn't want to be involved in any deals. He just doesn't want to do anything. He's not interested in keeping the key, he doesn't want to take the money. So now that brings us to our daf and our Samach Dalit. So that's the Eitz of Rava. Level Chad Minayu LeKarablay. Somebody should become friendly with this guy enough that he should be willing to lend him out of the place. Lishal Minay Duchta, VeLeinach VeImidi. You should borrow from him a spot on his property and place something on that spot. So let's say this guy you happen to know he likes plants. Just an example. So you get a hold of a flower pot, a plant. And you tell him, look, I ended up with this flower pot. My wife's not interested in having the in the house or out of the house. Maybe there's a spot on your lawn where you can hold our flower pot. So for him, it's a win-win situation. He's getting a flower pot and doesn't have to pay for it. And he appreciates having such a thing on his lawn. So that would be a way of making she'ilas makom. Just a few pointers. The halacha is, the Mishabur brings the Achrayim, how they interpret the Torah, that if the place that the Jew borrows becomes totally miyuchad for the Jew, and the goy cannot have use of that spot, so that wouldn't be valid. You need to have a place where the two of them are together. So you have to tell the goy that if he wants to change the location and to move it from one spot to another, that's okay with you. So now, wherever the pot is, the goy is not excluded from that spot, because he can always use that spot and move the pot somewhere else. One more pointer. It's probably kedai that the yid himself be the one to place the pot on the spot. And the reason is, the Beis Yosef, the Magen Avraham, the Mishnebura, they're of the opinion that in order to affect this shayla, this borrowing, you need to have a kinyan. You need to be koyin at that spot. So how do you go about making a kinyan? Says the Mishnah Berurah, and sif katan lamizayin, the koyin oisay hamokoyim b'mesh eini arboi shum chepet. The way that he's koyin it is by placing the item on that spot. So it's not clear whether, if the goy is the one who places it, that would help. It would depend on how to understand the choice of Kenyan Peiris, or the Achilles Peiris, is it a Din Ma'is HaChazokeh. There's an Asivit that speaks about Kenyan She'ela, or the Ishtamshes, but he's speaking about Metalflin. It's not clear that it would apply to Karkois. So in order to make sure that you have it done properly, the Yid should be the one who places the flower pot on the designated spot. Now the question is, after the She'ela Smokim has been executed, what needs to be done now, if anything? Is the heter of the reshus of the goy completed? Or is there still something that needs to be done? So there are three opinions. The first opinion is that after the borrower has completed his job, now the other yidin need to go to the borrower and rent from him the reshus of the goy. This is the opinion of the Rambam, the Ravid, the Rashba and Tshuva, and the Smad. The other two opinions, they hold that no, once they're finished borrowing, there's generally speaking nothing more that needs to be done. But there's a difference in how to understand this opinion. There's the Beis Yosef and the Mishneh Berurah b'shem the Chiddushei Rashba. The Beis Yosef is of the opinion that it doesn't make a difference whether the borrower is a member of the Chatzar or he's not a member of the Chatzar. In any event, he did his job and the Rishus of the Goy has been huta. Nothing more needs to be done because he's the borrower. So if he's a member of the Chatzar, he'll have to give his Erev like any other member of the Chatzar. But if he's not a member of the Chatzar, so then he doesn't need to give his Erev. He's not a member of the Chatzar. Whereas the Chiddushei Rashba holds that I'll call upon him, in order to complete the heter of the Reshus of the Goy, the borrower will have to give his Erev. So if he's a member of the Chatzar, so he's anyway giving his Erev. The same Erev that works for his own Reshus will work for the Reshus of the Goy. But even if he's not a member of the Chatzar, he still has to give his Erev in order to be matir to complete the heter of the Reshus of the Goy. We'll go back now and explain each of the opinions, how they understand the mechanics of our sugya, Daf Samach Dalet, Sheilas Mokim. The Beis Yosef understands that once he does the Sheilas Mokim, nothing more needs to be done. That's because the Sheilas Mokim, in the opinion of the Beis Yosef, is, in and of itself, the heter of the Rishus of the Goy. When I rent the Rishus from a Goy, I obtain the rights from the Goy via paying for them. If I borrow the place to put, say, the flower pot, so I obtain the use of his permission without paying for it. In either event, I obtained the rights to the Rishus of the Goy. What's the difference if I pay or if I don't pay? So just like when I rent out the Rishus of the Goy, it doesn't make a difference if I'm a member of the Chatzar, if I'm not a member of the Chatzar, your matter, the Rishus of the Goy. So too, if I borrow the Rishus of the Goy, it doesn't make a difference if I'm a member of the Chatzar or not a member of the Chatzar. The borrowing, in and of itself, is a heter of the Rishus of the Goy. The other two opinions, the first opinion that says you have to complete it with a Sechiris, and the third opinion that holds they have to complete the Heter with a Nesiris Erev, giving his Erev, they hold that the borrowing is not in and of itself a Heter of the Rishos. All it does is confers upon the borrower the status of Sechir Lekitoi. He now has a connection to the Rishos of the Goy, just like a Socher Velokit, an employee, has a connection to the Rishos of the Goy. So now he has a Yiddish Socher Velokit of a Goyish employer. That's his status. So now the Machlokes is, What does it take for a Yiddish Sochei Velokit to be matter the Rishus of his Jewish employer? The first opinion holds that it takes serious Rishus. You go to the Jewish employee and you rent from him the Rishus of his employer. And the third opinion, they hold that the way to do it is by Eruv. And the understanding is as follows. According to the first opinion, the Rishus is still viewed exactly as it is. It's the Rishus of a guy. The only thing that his being a Sochei Velokit change helps anything is that now we have, so to speak, a power of attorney, as far as Eruv is concerned, over the Rishus of the Doi. So now I go to this borrower who has now achieved the power of attorney, and I use his power of attorney to carry out the Schiris of the Rishus of the Doi. Whereas according to the third opinion, the way that Sochei Velokit works is that we view the Sochei Velokit employee as if he himself were the owner of the Rishus who's living there. So now that this employee is a Jew, so if he were living there, he would have to give his chelik in the earth. So if he's anyway living there, so now he has two houses. It's two houses that have one owner, only need one portion of the earth. The same earth that works for his own will work for the house of the Goy. But if he's not a member of the Chatzar, and he otherwise would have not been given his earth, he still hasn't completed his job. Because now that we view him in order to be matter the Rishus of the Goy, as if he were living on the house of the Goy. So now, in order to be matter that, he has to still give his chelik of the Erev as if he were living in that house. But why would it not be enough? The Bishesiv had a taina. So what's the difference if you rented the Rishus, if you borrowed the Rishus? The same way renting the Rishus is matter the Rishus of the Goy. Why shouldn't borrowing work? Why should you need anything more than that? The Bishesiv himself explains the counter opinion. The Loi Yitiru Chachamim Lagabi Goy. If we recall, the halachas of schiras rishus were designed to make it a little bit difficult. The schiras had to be done in a way that the goy wouldn't be so happy to go along. And that is, when he does schiras, the goy is concerned about kshafim. So he's not so fast to go along with the schiras. But she'ela, to borrow it, the goy is not concerned about kshafim. The Bach and the Frisha in the beginning of the sermon explain why that might be. The Omar, Hareini Noisein Lohem Rishus Bechinam. I'm offering them the use of my property for no price. Ve'enem Reisem L'kabel Elon Kina Kabel Ma. They don't want to take it. They want specifically to pay me money. Vade L'kishim B'chaven. Seems like he's trying to bewitch me. So that works if we take away from the Yid the option of doing it for free. But if we give him the option of doing it for free, then even if he takes the money, there's less of a concern for kshafim. And so far as the halacha is concerned, the Mishabura says that lechatchila, one should not rely on the eruv, and one should specifically rent the rishus from the borrower.
In fact, there's actually an advantage to renting the rishus of the goy from the borrower. What would be if one day the goy decides he's had enough, he wants you to take back your flower pot? According to the Beis Yosef, the heter of Sheilas Mokim is because borrowing is similar to leasing. Now that the borrowing is over, the lease is up and you're back to your original problem. Even according to the Chiddushei Rashba, that the Sheilas Mokim confers upon the borrower the status of a Sochei Velokit, but that only helps that we consider that the Sochei Velokit as if he were the owner living in the house, and his Erev helps then to be Matar the Rishus. Once he's no longer a borrower, he's no longer a Sochei Velokit, and we no longer consider as if he's living in the house. So the house of the Goy, the Rishus of the Goy, is left without a heter. Whereas according to the first approach, the status of Sochei Velokit granted him power of attorney. So if while the borrower had power of attorney, the other Yidin rented from him the Rishus of the Goy for a period of 20 years, and they specified an amount, then even though subsequently he loses the status of Sochei Velokit, but whatever he executed while he still had power of attorney, that remains valid for the duration of time that was specified at the time of the Schiris.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halachic services or consultations, or to present a shaila, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. Or email info@thehalachacenter.org.